All right, friends. We're glad to see you talking to each other. I think that's great, getting to know each other and working, maybe starting to work together as a team even more. So thank everybody for, I just want to really thank quickly before I turn over to Katie. Thank you all for coming on this rainy day. First off, I want to apologize about the snacks and the drinks the last couple of times. I'm trying to meet your needs, but it's been difficult to manage all those tasks. So
I got her way.
I also
no more.
Dumped a bunch of snacks in the parking lot and had to clean those up in the rain on the way in. So I'm really sorry about that. Especially we got 4 hours here. I wanted you to have something to munch on. So there are some things that didn't fall on the ground, I think.
Just wipe them off.
It's totally fine. And David, it was nice enough to pick up the coffee, and there's some water back there too. I also wanted to just note, in case you didn't check in or catch it in the email, Jaslyn Falstick from Visit Vancouver WA has moved on to another position. Or not another position. She went back to school to get a graduate degree, and they are currently trying to backfill her position. And I don't think they can fill her role right now on the steering committee. But if they have someone to move, you know, bring in, that was a specific request of the council, and so we'll make sure we do our best to bring that person up to speed. Marcella, I thought, was going to be here. Hopefully she shows up. If not, we'll do our best to fill her in on what's going on here. And there was a meeting that not everybody was able to attend on the 13th of February. Thanks for being flexible there, the folks that were able to come. But we're going to give one of you the chance to, or multiple people here, if you want to have the chance to kind of summarize what you saw in your discussion and any kind of feedback that you have from that. And that'll be something that Katie brings up in just a few moments. So I just want to thank you all for being here and continuing to put up and be patient with us as we move forward. It's a lot of information I've been sending you. Hopefully you've had time to review it. If not, we're going to do our best to explain what we're going to try to do here today. So thank you. Oh, sorry, Christine.
Can I just have a quick question? So I understand that the farm tour from last week, Friday, was canceled. So there's still one more, or are you going to extend it to more?
That's a good thing to bring up. Thank you. Bill was the only person. Bill and Mark, I think, we're going to come to that last one. There's one this Friday on St. Patrick's Day. Bill said we have to wear green. I don't remember exactly what time it is, but I want to say it's like 1 o'clock.
Excluding me. I asked you if I was required that I wear.
Okay.
Well, look if you got the memo.
I was ready to go on the last Friday because rain doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it may be raining on Friday. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be that 60 degree mark they keep promising. But Mark, and if you want to join us on Friday, if you have time, I'll be there and we can walk around. But everybody else, I believe, has made it to that first opportunity to come. So thanks for doing that as well. And thanks for reminding me, Christine. So with that, I'll turn it over to Katie.
Great. Well, welcome, everybody, and welcome to those who are online with us. We have some new faces in the space, so I thought maybe we'd take a quick moment to introduce ourselves. I'm Katie Wilson. I'm with CONSOR. We are supporting Clark County in this process. And
I'm Clark Worth. I work with Katie at CONSOR.
Laura Oppenheimer, Clark Conservation District.
I'm standing in case just Stanley Creek Business Association.
I'm Matt Ball, Clark County Operations Supervisor. Rob Freed with the Farm Advisory Team.
Christine Perry with WC Extension.
Mark Reed, Vancouver Public Schools. Bill Klein, Northeast Easterville Neighborhood Association President.
Chris Meyer, Parks Advisory Board.
Tanika Sisko, the pronouns were she, her, hers, and NAACP.
Rocky Houston, the county.
Amy Arnold with the Parks and Lands and County.
I'm Lindy Wallach. I'm the park planner, and I'm the project manager for this plan development.
David Stipe, planning and development manager for Clark County Parks and Lands.
And then in the back room. Great. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. And online, how many folks do we have? Two.
I think there's a master gardener online and a and Emily Straws from the food bank as well.
Great. Well, welcome, everybody. For those joining us online, we want to invite you to remember that this meeting is being recorded. And also, if you could use the raise your hand tool if you need any assistance online, then we know to assist you and call on you. and to use chat if you have any comments you'd like to leave during the meeting. That would be really helpful. Thank you so much. We have a full agenda today. We want to thank you all for taking the time. We know this is a long meeting, but we've been listening and we've heard that it's felt a little bit rushed, some of the agenda items. We really wanted to dig in today and take the time to discuss and to allow you to have time to discuss and really thoughtfully work through some of the materials that we've shared. We know we've shared a lot of information. So there's been a lot of talking at you, and this is really an opportunity for us to hear from you and for you to talk amongst each other and really explore more deeply some of these ideas. So first off, we're going to review, we're going to have a community discussion and review kind of what we've done so far listening to the community. And we invite you to provide feedback and talk about what you've heard, and we'll get more into that. Then we'll go through the plan development process. And then at that point, we will thank those that are participating online, and we'll move on to the workshop portion where we'll break into smaller groups and dig into these materials, which you'll see you have a lot of information in front of you, and we'll work through that as we work through our plan today. The larger sheets that are folded nicely in your packet are for the workshop for the second half of the meeting today. So as we move into the public feedback and discussion, as Lindy mentioned, there were some folks who weren't able to join us last month. So we wanted to just provide a little bit of time for the committee members. If somebody was here that would like to give some feedback and share what they remember discussing from that meeting, for those that weren't able to attend, that would be really helpful. Any volunteers? What were some big takeaways?
Are there notes from that?
I believe I distributed some meeting minutes, yes.
That's what I thought. I was looking for those.
I think it came up with like two main directions we were looking at. One was who was responsible for the farm, for the heritage site, and the other one was
I know one of the things that we discussed was processes for protecting the farm, and also, and I'm kind of having the same problem as you. I think we were looking at methods, ways to meet the goal that we're looking
right.
at.
I think Zora was saying that, you know, there's a lot of grants we could possibly get, but nobody wants to give a grant if the property isn't protected. So that is not going to the next city council. Our next county council is not going to say, okay, we're making condos out of it. So how can we guarantee that it's not going to, it's going to stay as it is, as most of the stakeholders want that.
Do you mind emailing those out again? Because I'm not.
Yes.
I know that I saw them, but I don't know what.
Well, we talked about conservation easement. How do we go about doing that? And then we also mentioned that, you know, it's also on the historic register already. Right. And that would be a benefit to protect the farm. But then we talked about the American Farmland Trust, Washington Farm Land Trust. I take notes, but they do me absolutely no good when I'm trying to remember what I took the notes about. So
there was another point was that we had the person that's from the Heritage Farm Foundation,
Sandy,
and that they're not paid employees and they're just volunteers, and they'd be, and the concept that we're going to have this, we wanted to have more control of what was going on there, and maybe they need to have a sort of paid.
So additional staff to support.
Okay. Yeah, the topic of having a nonprofit take over the control of the farm, and we also talked about the issues surrounding having a farmer's market here with the limited number of vendors in Clark County, and you know, and we started looking at that too. So
about the concern with people who already run farmers markets. But when you go online and check what other people are doing on a site like this, it doesn't seem to be such a great big thing. There are some vendors that either don't have well, there'll be charges no matter what, so no matter where you go, the vendor would have things, but there are some vendors that just don't have connection, Sample Creek or the downtown. I think that that's not any possible, you just have to want to do it.
We talk about how farmers markets and the programs really have to come after we make the determination, how we protect our people and also.
It all starts with protection. You know, they can't put a fence around it and say, you know, when Rocky retires, who's the next guy, what is he gonna do to us? Yeah.
I don't think we focus specifically on Rocky now.
It's fine, I am the county, so I exude all the energy in regards to county management, be by Rocky or other county entities. You know, a conservation easement was something that was brought up in a council hearing a few months ago, and I know that council was investigating a conservation easement. And I know that one of the county attorneys was working on that, looking at those things, looking at what I'll call encumbrances are currently on the property versus what a conservation easement could or could not do. You know, and I think the county can place a conservation easement on it. We don't need another entity to do that. So that is something that could be a recommendation out of this group. And while conservation easements, historic districts, all those things are tools to help protect it, it comes back to the people, really, in regards to any future action. So very few things in the world are that way forever. So
what?
I know, right? But I think it's that we continue to move in the spirit of the master plan, which is to, I'll pick on that. The master plan is to use it as a farm.
Yeah, use it.
And an educational and a community asset. And so. So I think in this planning process, we've heard the feedback then in our previous two master plans and trying to continue to move that forward. And then in this process, if there continues to be that continued recommendation, I'm sure it'll get moved forward to the policymakers to make that decision. So I want everyone to know that it's been heard and we continue to work the path, which is to keep it as a community asset.
So Lindy, it looks like Lindy, you just sent out the summary again.
I sent the link out to everybody because it's posted on the website. I could also say in terms of grants that are related to properties with conservation easements, I looked at the RCO grants because they have some agricultural, or so it's Recreation and Conservation Office of the state of Washington. And they have a large grant program. And one of those grant programs is specific to agricultural lands, but those are all for land acquisition. And so that since we already own the land, that this wouldn't apply to that.
But what RCO does have in Washington is they treat every grant as if it's a land and water conservation funds. So in Oregon, I had 16 years of experience managing grant programs for recreation, and in Washington they treat it everything like land. What's that mean? That means that when I get a grant for a property from RCO, they put a conservation easement to keep it open to the public for recreational purposes and purposes of that grant. So there, if we did get a grant, it would provide an additional hook. These are all hooks that continue to align its future use with its current use, or some variation of this current use in regards to its business performance, which is people access and utilizes community asset.
Oh no, that's fine. There's a wide breadth of different grant opportunities that come through Recreation and Conservation Office. Wide range of different types of projects. And then I reached out to a couple of different conservation easement organizations, and most of the work they do, or almost all of it, is acquiring or assisting private owners with conserving their land for future use. And the role that public organizations like the county normally pay is helping finance those or buying those development rights from private owners. So this is kind of the opposite scenario for what most of those organizations are doing.
If I may, just with the meeting that we had in relation to that piece, I think we can focus on the conservation easement as a vehicle for funding. And we can also focus at the, which is what I'm hearing is like, well, that's not really going to work because of X, Y, Z. We can also focus on the conservation easement as a vehicle for conserving the land for future investments. So I'm hearing no on the funding piece. That's cool. But if we conserve that land so that grants are more likely to be written and gotten for infrastructure, that is potentially a vehicle for more funding. I know a lot of what we, the small group talked about, it was conservation easements potentially. It was what are the park designations that are available for that kind of property. And also what felt like it was missing was a unifying person at the top who was in charge, because there's a whole bunch of different organizations on the area. WSU is kind of this like de facto in charge, but is not really in charge. The county is there, but probably doesn't have the kind of expertise currently, or at least doesn't use the kind of expertise currently to go out and get grants and do at least what we were talking about. So having someone who really is in charge to facilitate all of that.
So we did look into different park definitions, park type definitions. And your question, I think, was mostly specific to natural areas. And there's no, that we could not find any codified definition of a natural area. That is something I think they're seeking out, the lands group. David might be able to speak more to this than I can. Our parks development code has specific things that you can do or not do within a neighborhood park. I think that's probably what you've read, community park and a regional park. Can you speak a little bit more to about the?
Yes, so I spoke with Kevin Tyler. He's our lands manager, and he is primarily responsible for writing the natural areas acquisition plan, which the proposed plan, Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan, refers to the natural areas acquisition plan. And the definition for urban natural area or natural area is sort of, it's a strictly internal definition at this point. It's not codified anywhere. That doesn't mean that it can't be. We're looking at doing a number of things to our section of the code over the next 1 to 2 years, depending on community development department's timeline. We have to collaborate with them on that. That could be among those things. Additionally, what is and isn't allowed in a regional park, what is and isn't allowed in a community park, which are, those would be the two likely designations if the property were changed to actually a park designation. Regional park doesn't help because regional parks are funded by the general fund only. Community park, that leaves community park as sort of the only option if we were going to rely on Metropolitan Park District funds to help offset some general fund costs at the site. And so we would need to revisit the uses that are allowed in a community park to make sure that it's clear. The interesting thing about when you look at code and you look at a list of uses, it doesn't say only these things. And so there's a lot sort of left off the table. And the minute you make a list like that, somebody comes in and says, yeah, but I'd like to do this thing. And that puts the planners in a position to make a judgment call, for lack of a better term, on whether that's appropriate for the zone that it's in. And I believe this is zone public facilities, which is also silent on the ag use, a public facility parcel. But if you look at all the other code, ag uses seem to, they don't seem to, they do, they are supported with things like exemptions, and it's clear within the comprehensive plan of the county that agriculture is very important. And so making those adjustments, or even making the case without the adjustments, that agricultural use of any number of types in a community park would be an allowed use. So, and then just to echo Rocky's comments about the master plan and conservation easements, right now, from the highest value piece of protection that Heritage Farm has is the master plan. It's been run through the public twice and reaffirmed by the council a second time. And while everyone might not be completely comfortable with all of the things that identified in the master plan, without going through a public process that requires planning commission hearing, requires SEPA, requires SEPA, State Environmental Policy Act, sorry for using acronyms, requires a full-blown public process where the public gets to comment on a change to a master plan, that document will not change. And the public, if we went to do some sort of a document change or remove the master plan requirements on the site to do something else with it, the public, you all would probably come out swinging. And Rocky, nor I, nor Lindy, I bet your consort doesn't want to participate in that as a facilitator. It's just not going to be a popular conversation. And it's not popular with us, to be honest. We want to see it move forward largely as it is now with some enhancements.
David, is there no place in the state of Washington where they have ag parks, like a park specifically set up? I mean, you know, they do in the Midwest. I haven't seen anything, I don't know, but it certainly seems a good designation, if not for all 79 plus acres, at least for that nonsense idea of opening up 25th Avenue. I don't know whose idea that was, Rocky. But
it's the master plan that I support.
I know, but it's just nonsense. But since it's there, and since 25th will be open, and then provide access to a ton of people, if you took, and I'm not great about acres, but if you took a swath straight from 78th Street, 25th Avenue, and went that way, 20 acres or whatever it would take, just sweep it up, that could be an ag park, a public, it could then just that section that would be isolated from all of the work Washington State University is doing, because nobody wants to mess with what's already been done. Anyway, it just seems like if that would help protect all of the rest of it, then that park piece would go under the regional park plan.
Well, but it's all protected currently under the master plan. The only way it's going to lose that, quite honestly, is if we don't implement the master plan.
I can appreciate that, Matt, but I'm a lot older than you are, and probably older than your mother. And I can tell you that this county cannot be relied on to take care of this particular piece of property. It's a sweet hunk of property. There's a lot of money out there, and at some point, we're going to get county commissioners, county councilors in there.
So Isla, the county's owned it since 1873.
So
still there.
Just to respond to your question about agri park designations throughout the county, I can work with the Municipal Research organization to do a code search to find out if there are other municipalities with an agri park designation. I think the easiest way for us to address it is to sort of stick with the process that we're in, develop a sustainability plan that has some next steps identified in it to move things forward, with the idea that the council gave us direction when they approved the master plan. This is this is the direction we need you to head, and we also need you to do these two things. And that's the current direction we have from the council. And I know that you have been around longer than me. And maybe possibly not my mom, but Old County systems are changing all over the country, moving from commission to council forms of government, and the change in the size of the county makes that sort of backdoor world a thing of the past, or hopefully a thing of the past, especially when you're relying on your subject matter experts like they are in this case to do the work that we need to do within the confines of the regulations.
So just to a statement and a question. So if we can come up with a plan for soon and then a contingent plan moving forward, will that, do you believe with the information you have, that that will satisfy the council at this point? So if we could come up with, okay, we've got a way to figure out, we got $100,000 and we can almost guarantee that's going to happen every year. And then over the next 2 years, we're going to be able to pull this next $100,000 because it's going to just go up. Everything goes up. Is that something that they would consider a successful sustainability plan, or would it all have to be sorted out at once?
I think this is the first step in the process. Lindy and I have talked about this a lot, that the master plan and the sustainability plan are merely a map in order for us to go on a journey to be successful in educating people about Heritage Farm, preserving Heritage Farm, and having more people enjoy Heritage Farm. We've asked you to help us with the sustainability side of the map. And while we're not going to identify all of the, and you all of the things that we might need to do in this step, we're going to move forward with the sustainability plan that we worked with, that you could develop, and it's with you for the public. And so, to directly answer your question about the council, I don't talk to the council except for on the record. And so you can read between the lines on that. I think Rocky would probably say the same thing. I know what they've told us in public. They want us to find a way to do this. And they want to keep the farm as a farm forever. But I haven't heard anything at all.
Okay, and the comment was that given the response from the people at the December 14th open house, you can understand why the majority of the people who have access to and work on the farm have been less than confident going forward. So we're just going to make them all happy. I'll be quiet now. I'm sorry, Linda.
I completely understand.
I just want to say two things. So there were follow-up questions from that last meeting, which Zora kind of touched on. One was, who would oversee grants? And right now, if we were to move forward in this same situation where the farm continued on as it is with the minor changes we're making through leases and whatnot, if there was a major capital investment project, that's a grant. Up, oh, Rocky wants to.
No, I'm raising my hand. It's the county.
Yes, we would be doing that, and that's something that I would work with David and others from our team that are coming on. If there was a smaller project, maybe like maybe WSU had some funding source that I'm not aware of, but that required
they do.
Oh, I'm sure that required the owner to be a part of that. We would assist with that. The same thing for any of the user groups, we would be there to support them in that, and then going forward, figuring out what these cost recovery options or what these look like are, that would be part of it, figuring out who would be supporting those. But we're pretty aware of grants that are available and how to apply for them fairly successfully and manage them. So, yeah.
And then to follow up on one of those questions that Sure. So the definition of park types, you kind of talked about that. And I think you said there's an internal definition of natural areas, but then you didn't say what it was. And I'm looking, but whoever, do you have the internal definition?
I think I need a different answer than I would, but go ahead.
So the question gets asked a couple different ways. So what's the difference between an urban natural area and a natural area is one of the questions I'm sort of asking it. Why does that matter? So in our MPD, our Metropolitan Park District, we have a level of service requirement, so many acres per so many thousands of people. And break that, it's 6 acres, we break that out by park type. And so urban natural area is one of those. And then it's community park and it's neighborhood park. And then we have developed and undeveloped portions of that. So those are numbers that you'll find in our PROS plan that are defined. Natural areas is a broader definition. How we utilize natural areas primarily is based off of legacy lands in the RCO definition in regards to, so our legacy lands is how we acquire most of our natural areas, most of our portfolio of natural areas in the county. And so that's where there's no commercial uses in a natural area, in a legacy land property. Seems like this is a legacy land owned, but that's kind of how we look at that. So that means we don't have concessionaires out there. The definition usually uses like a golf course or a marina. Not many examples out there of farms. Does a farm stand trigger commercial use? Some would say yes, some may not say no. So that's sort of the, and the, it's there to conserve. And I know you're going to get me on. You've tried to break this open in regards to is farmland conserving for active farmland. Is that a conservation? And yes, and I think historically when we're acquiring property for natural areas, it's not to be actively used. Doesn't mean there isn't leases. And we are currently working on acquiring easements, conservation easements on active farmlands to preserve that type of use in the county. So we're moving that definition. But when we look in the rearview mirror, historically, it's this little area of woods over here where we're planting it and not having it open. It's sort of a natural area for no people to use it. And beyond that definition, I don't think we have anything much more than what's already in our PROS plan.
The only thing that I would add to that is we do have properties that we have agricultural use leases on them. And in some cases it's conservation land that we purchased, or in some cases it's undeveloped parkland that we're planning on developing eventually. And we're just relying on a partner who's historically used it for running cattle, cutting. But it's not, from a parks and lands perspective, it's not been to preserve agriland. That's a sort of a larger sort of county goal. So.
Can you give us an example of what kind of hunk of property that might be around so we can get our head wrapped around?
So you're just talking
about hunks of property the county currently owns. You're doing something with it now until it can be turned into a park or whatever. Is that what we're talking about?
Sure. So in Ridgefield.
Sure. That's a good idea.
Pearson is the name of a property we acquired several years ago, which is kind of just south of La Center. We've got a house on it, and it's so many hundreds of acres, and there's a bunch of fields and a bunch of lowland bottom area that is frontage to the East Fork Lewis River. And so we bought it primarily for that East Fork frontage to protect that, but we had that other property. So we've been leasing the house for 24 years.
Was that right?
Yes. And for another 11 months. And then we have a farmer that we lease the fields out to for, I think, cattle and hay. Another property we have here that I think is this combination of neighborhood park, natural area would be Bosco Farms. So just down the hill here, the upper part of Bosco Farms is a developed neighborhood park. It has what you think of when you close your eyes, think of neighborhood park. It's got a playground, a little trail, a trash can, and some grass is green, some grass is not so green in the summer. But then as you go down the hill, there's an area that I think we have a little nature trail, but it was planted, and I think we just cleaned up some trees and stuff in there. That is sort of an open space. It's an older definition or word used for natural area open space that is sort of designated for that sort of non-development habitat area.
So one other example is Kirk Creek. It's a community park property.
72nd, 119th.
72nd, 119th. It's by the Gaddis natural area. New fire station there. That had been under an ag lease, and somebody's been cutting it for hay or grass or whatever. And we're going to be building a community park there. I hope it's going to do it this year, but it's probably going to take it. Probably going to be next year.
Is that Curtin Creek?
Yes.
I want to make sure we stay on track so we provide you with plenty of time to do the workshop exercises today. So we did also hear from you that you wanted a little more time to discuss some of the community engagement we did, that we've already done, and to help prepare you for the conversations we're going to have at the second half of the meeting. We've done the community leader interviews. That's where we engaged different community leaders associated with the farm site. To get a little bit of context as to what their connections are, what their values are connected to the farm, maybe what they envision the future of the farm to be. We did a community survey. We had really great results. We had over 1,000 responses. 1,126 people participated. Surveys are a great way to really connect with a broad group of folks in the community. So we heard from people who were very connected to the farm and folks that were not. And so that was a really great way to hear what is the general community values around the property and what do folks already know, what do they not know about the site, had they visited the site, had they not, and what they value about it moving forward. And something that was really interesting that we heard, some of the themes coming out that when we first started this process, we heard from some of you that you were concerned that folks maybe hadn't visited the farm may not understand what a treasure it is, you know, compared to you, how you all feel about it because you spend such a great amount of time there. And what we heard in the survey was that folks do, they value the farm and they wanted to learn more about it. So there were a lot of questions about how can I learn more about the farm? Could there be more outreach and marketing so that folks know how to participate on the farm, which was great news. And we had the public meeting on December 14th where it was held here. So many of you did such a great job tabling and sharing about what you do on the farm and what your organizations do to contribute to the community. And it was an opportunity for community members to voice their questions and comments and feedback. And then we've been collecting feedback in different ways. People have sent in comments, filled out comment cards at the public meeting, and all of that information has been collected and it's been shared with you. So and I know we've talked about all of these things in past meetings, but we did hear that it maybe felt a little bit rushed. So we wanted to give you a little bit of time today to, if you had any further comments or questions or anything you wanted to discuss around the community engagement effort or the feedback we've received so far, to give you a little bit of time to talk about that.
I really appreciate you sending me all of the responses. That was wonderful.
You're sure.
But one of the things, unless I just missed it, seems to be that we didn't know where the people who took the survey came from, part of the county. My constant concern is that people in East County don't have a clue about it. And I worry about that because I want everybody to understand how important it is, because at some point, we could be asking for money.
So is your feedback just moving forward when we do surveys to ask a geographic question?
I think it's not a bad idea.
That's great. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Is there anything else? And all this information has been shared, so you should have it if you want to look back at it at some point.
I'd emailed everything to you, but I
printed it out just to make sure you have a copy of it. The last, I think after the last meeting we discussed it, I had forgotten to send out the public comments that we received. So that's in there. I think it's 2 pages, 3 pages front and back. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at those.
So they aren't commenting on something on a specific plan. It's just the process or something.
We just collect those. These are any public comments that we've collected along the way. We wanted to make sure you heard all of it. And then just if you aren't familiar with how SurveyMonkey does their feedback, we did the summary notes. So it gives you an overview of each question and then any open-ended answers that folks provided is organized by question.
I want to say there's one public comment that's not in there from Erica Johnson. Did you see it in there? I think I made that before she submitted it. She is with WFCU and runs the Master Gardeners. So I apologize for not having that in there, but I'll email it to you either before we leave or first thing in the morning.
Are there any other questions about our public engagement?
Katie, one of the striking things about all of this public comment is there was a lot of convergence.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the survey, whoever got surveyed, whoever we talked to, the comments that came in unsolicited, there's a lot of convergence. And the key points here that Katie has on the slide, I think, really are an attempt to summarize that and what it is that we heard over and over again, essentially. What are the common threads? So that's important. It's unusual when you do this much information gathering and find so much convergence in our experience. So there's a lot of support for those things on the board there.
Am I wrong? It's only 6 people that
comment. Right, except for Erica Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, for the public comments, yes.
I kept checking.
And we'll add to it if anything comes in, and we'll make sure to share those. Do we want to move on to process?
Sure. Oh, too many computers. Oh, here we go. All right, so during our January 30th meeting, I tried to review this process with you. I didn't really have a graphic representation of it, so I think it was maybe a little bit confusing. So I just wanted to go through this because when I did the check-ins with you guys, I think at the beginning of February, some folks were a little confused about how we plan on getting through the process. So our first step is the alternative development. So far left, that's where we are today. And the workshop that we're completing today, we will be working later on in this workshop on a small group exercise where you're gonna break into teams and work on developing alternatives for the plan. And if at the end of this meeting, the committee has put together alternatives that we can put into the plan, then we're gonna move on to the next step. But if we get to the end of this meeting and it's not ready to go, then we'll reevaluate where we're at. And the same goes at each step. We're gonna sit back and be very contemplative before we move on to the next step to make sure we're ready to go there. The next step is that we're gonna write the plan, and really this should say Lindy writes plan. So I just wanna think of that as my little dot. I've tried to give myself about a month and a half, maybe 2 months to write this plan because I got a lot of other tasks to do at the same time, but I've kind of fleshed out some of the, you know, history on the site, things that I think are meeting summaries, things that we've done here that I think are relevant to the plan and the work that we've done so far. And then going forward, it's going to be mostly focused on the this alternative analysis and the alternatives that you folks bring forward. The next step is going to be that you guys are going to review the plan that I've put together. Once we have that draft plan ready, we'll look at it internally for a little bit, and then we're going to reach out to the committee to review that document and allow you the time to provide comments on changes you'd like to see. When you review the document and provide feedback, we're going to figure out at that point if we need to have a meeting together to discuss it. Most likely, if we do, that'll be a hybrid meeting. That'll be a Teams meeting. that can probably be just as effective there in teams at that point. And we'll do that before we go on to the next step. After that, it's going to be another public meeting. So we would be taking that plan and the comments that you provided out to the public to present the plan to the public. It'll be done through, there'll also be a public comment period at the same time where those six comments came from. Maybe there'll be 12 this time. You never know. But we'll have a public meeting. It's not most likely not going to be here from scheduling, but we're going to sort out where that's going to be. We'll review the plan and the alternatives that you put forward, maybe even ask you to participate in that. And then we'll have probably a lengthier Q&A session than we had at the last meeting. I think we all felt like we kind of cut it off a little bit early just because of the amount of time that we had. But we'll try to give the public a little bit more time to ask their questions and vent their thoughts. And then we're going to go to the Park Advisory Board and the Council for check-in. So we'll take the comments, we'll take the draft plan, we'll take the comments received at the public meeting. We'll first meet with the Park Advisory Board, which is Teresa, where Teresa sits, participates in, get their feedback. They provided some really valuable feedback to us when we were putting this committee together and planning the project in the first place. And then we'll take their comments and their recommendations to move forward to the council for just a check-in before we actually finalize the plan. So we'll provide them with the public comments that we've received. We'll provide them with a summary of the public meeting of everything that we've done so far, including the draft plan, and get their input. And we're going to take all of that and we're going to come back to you guys. And we're going to have another workshop where you actually score those alternatives against the criteria, which I know is still maybe kind of confusing, but we're going to take each of those alternatives that you come up with and they're going to be scored against those guiding principles. I think there's seven or eight, nine of them from the master plan to figure out what alternative the committee wants to recommend in the plan. And you'll be able to consider the public feedback at the public meeting, the comments that we receive, and then the comments from the Park Advisory Board or from the council at that point when you're, you know, doing the work of scoring that. We'll take that step and the scoring of that alternative to finalize the plan and then go back to the Park Advisory Board and the council for final adoption. So did I say that too fast? Anybody have any questions that make sense to you? Christine looks really excited about it.
As excited as you are, Lindy.
I just want to say again, we're really going to be very contemplative between step to step, really sense where we're at and make sure that we're ready to move forward into the next step. So. But this is the plan.
The plan
for the plan. All right. Okay. Yeah, if we could take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to take another break in the middle of the exercise too. So stretch your legs, get some water.
So at this point too, we want to thank the people online who've been joining, because as we move into the workshop, it's not going to be easy for them to participate. So thank you to those who've joined us online, and we will send out a meeting summary of what we've accomplished so far and what comes out of the rest of the workshop.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Are you kidding me? North Dakota? Hold on a second. 20 inches of snow.
I don't even have a Oh, that's in there.
That's your desk?
No. Introduction to user manual?
Here, I got it.
Oh, no, it's still here.